Translation and purport by His Divine Grace, Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada ki. So this is Vidura speaking to Dhritarashtra. Please therefore leave for the north immediately, without letting your relatives know. For soon that time will approach, which will diminish the good qualities of men. Purport. One can compensate for a life of frustration by becoming a dhira or leaving home for good without communicating with relatives. And Vidura advises elder brother to adopt this way without delay, because very quickly the age of Kali was approaching. A conditioned soul is already degraded by the material association, and still in the Kali Yuga the good qualities of a man will deteriorate to the lowest standard. He was advised to leave home before Kali Yuga approached, because the atmosphere which was created by Vidura, his valuable instructions on the facts of life, would fade away due to the influence of the age which was fast approaching. To become Narottama, or a first-class human being depending completely on the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, is not possible for an ordinary man. It is stated in Bhagavad Gita 7:28 that a person who is completely relieved of all taints of sinful acts can alone depend on the Supreme Lord Sri Krishna, the Personality of Godhead. Dhritarashtra was advised by Vidura to at least become a dhira in the beginning if it were impossible for him to become a sannyasi or Narottama. Persistently endeavoring on the line of self-realization helps a person rise to the conditions of a Narottama from the stage of a dhira. The dhira stage is attained after a prolonged practice of the yoga system, but by the grace of Vidura one can attain the stage immediately simply by willing to adopt the means of the dhira stage, which is the preparatory stage for sannyas. The sannyas stage is the preparatory stage of Paramahamsa, or the first grade devotee of the Lord. Srila Prabhupada ki jai. So here we're reading about Vidura's cutting words to Dhritarashtra. The Bhagavatam says, Tato du sangam utsrija sadhu satseja buddhiman shanta evasya chindanti mano vyasangam uktibi. A sadhu is not just a saintly person. The word sadhu means one who cuts. So shanta evasya chindanti means the words. The words of a saintly person are razor sharp. And what do those razor sharp words do? Mano vyasangam uktibi, the attachments that are in the mind become sliced by the words of a sadhu. So saintly people can cut people, can cut their attachment. Srila Prabhupada was in Mumbai, and there was a very famous businessman there. His name was Mr. Sethi. And he was very favorable towards the devotees, and very generous, helping the movement in so many ways. So Prabhupada went to see him at his place, a very palatial building. And as they were talking, Prabhupada said, so what is your daily schedule? What do you do? So he says, I wake up sometimes a little later, and I take breakfast, sometimes breakfast in bed. This is like a tradition in the Western world. Sometimes it's something to be proud of. Breakfast in bed. So Prabhupada just looked at him and he said, what's the difference between you and a pig? Just like direct. I mean, he was helping the devotees. He took it. He was happy. He said, I got completely humbled by Srila Prabhupada. But because he was a sadhu, because he was a saint, because he said it with no ego, because he said it with no pride, he actually developed a detachment within me. Of course, later on, Prabhupada said, don't try to imitate. Old men and young boys can go anywhere and say anything. And saintly person can say anything. So the words of saintly people are very, very sharp. So this is Vidura. Vidura looked at Dhritarashtra. He said, your family is gone. Your body is gone. Your honor is gone. You're being maintained in the very house of the people you tried to kill. And now Vidura looked at Dhritarashtra and said, and now your time is going. He said here in this verse, Kali Yuga is coming. And your duration of life is being taken away. Bhagavatam says, Ayur Harati Ve Pumsham Udyan Ashtam Chayana Shau. With the rising and setting of the sun, one's life is being taken away. So he said to Dhritarashtra, get out. Kali Yuga is coming. This age in which all the good qualities of men will be diminished, this age of Kali Yuga is coming. Kali Yuga is not a nice place, not a nice time to live in. One time, someone came to the place of the Pandavas and he wanted to see Yudhisthira. So Bhima was guarding the door. So the person came and he said, I want to see Yudhisthira. I have some questions. Bhima said, no, you cannot go in. He's resting. No, I have some questions. Yudhisthira is very wise. Dharmaraj, he can answer my questions. No, he's resting. You can ask me the questions. Bhima said. So he said, I've observed four things in society and I just can't explain it. So Bhima said, yeah, I'll explain. Tell me, what did you see? He said, I was walking and I saw that there was a field which was being protected by a fence. But that fence was gradually coming in and in and in and in and in and in and in like that. He said, I don't understand. What does this mean? He said, then what I saw is that there was someone who had a jug of water. And they put this jug of water into four different cups. They emptied the jug of water. And then these cups of water, they poured it back into the jug. And the jug was only half full. I poured a full jug into all these cups. And then I poured all the water back. And a full jug became half a jug. I don't understand, like, what does this mean? And then, the third one, do you remember? Oh, yes, I saw someone threading an elephant through a needle. But as they were threading the elephant through the needle, the tail got stuck. And then he said, and then I saw there was a big boulder on the road. And no one could move it. And then a sadhu came and with the thread of his chadar, he moved the boulder. Okay, so can you tell me the answers now, Bhima? Bhima was completely baffled. He said, I have no clue. What does this all mean? You better go in. You can go in. Go in and see him. It's okay. I don't have the answers here. So he went in. After some time, he came out. He was smiling. He was happy. So he just came out. He was smiling. He was walking off. Bhima said, hey, where are you going? He said, I got my answers. Yeah, Bhima said, yeah, I know you got the answers. Now share the answers with me. What does this all mean? The person said, Kali Yuga is coming. How? He said, an elephant is being thread through the eye of a needle, but then the tail gets stuck. This is Kali Yuga. Because in Kali Yuga, all the big criminals go through, but the small timers get caught. You see that, right? It happens in the world. Once I was on Lincoln High Street distributing books, and it was like Christmas, and there was all kinds of criminal activity going on. Some people were shoplifting. I could even see some drug dealers, everything. And then there were these police with, like, you know, like anti-terrorist and everything. And you know what they did? There was one guy going down the street riding on his bike. And the police, like three police, stopped him with a gun. Like, they had guns, right? So they stopped this guy, like, riding. And they go, no, you cannot ride your bicycle on the street like this. And I was like, my God, you know? There's so many people doing, like, nefarious activities here. And you stop the guy who's riding a bicycle on the street. I mean, okay, it's against the law, but you could be worse, you know? This is Kali Yuga. The people who are doing the worst things, they go through. You never doubt them. You know, Hitler's PR man, Joseph, was it Goebbels? Goebbels. He said, if you're going to tell a lie, tell a big lie. And say it loud. Because if you tell a big lie and you tell it loud enough, people will never, because they'll just think, no, he couldn't lie about that. I mean, he wouldn't be lying about that. And they just accept. But if you tell a small lie, everyone will scrutinize you. This is Kali Yuga. So this is the first character of Kali Yuga. The elephant goes through, but the tail gets caught. Then he said, the field, the fence was coming in. He said, this is Kali Yuga. The fence signifies what? Protection. So who's supposed to protect? The leaders are supposed to protect. But in Kali Yuga, instead of the fence protecting, instead of the leaders protecting, they come in and they impinge upon what everyone has. And instead of protecting the crops or protecting the praja, they actually begin to attack them and suck them of everything they have. So there's practically no good leadership in Kali Yuga. This is one of the reasons why things get bad. If you look in the 12th canto and the degradation of Kali Yuga is described, then basically degradation begins with degradation of leaders. Because they're just looking to exploit. One time a boss, he came into his company, so all the employees were looking as the boss drove in, and he drove in with a brand spanking new Mercedes. So everyone was looking from the window like, wow, what a car. So then he came in, and then one of the employees looked at him and said, wow, boss, amazing cars, beautiful, beautiful, top of the range, wonderful. The boss said, oh, you like it? You like, huh? You like the car? He said, yeah, it's amazing car. The boss looked at him and said, next year, if you work harder, if you work longer, if you work with all of your heart, your blood, sweat and tears, then next year, I'll have an even better car. And then he realized this is the nature of Kali Yuga. The people are just trying to take. The people who are supposed to protect you, take. Blind followers are bad. But you know who's worse? What's worse than blind followers? Blind followers led by blind leaders. And you know what's worse than blind followers led by blind leaders? Blind followers led by blind leaders who actually think that they're right. That's the worst. And that's basically what's happening in Kali Yuga. So he said, the fence is coming in, impinging. This is Kali Yuga. Leaders are becoming degraded. And then the jug is poured and poured back, but only half the water is there. He said, this is Kali Yuga. You give and give and give to others, but there's no reciprocation. You give the best of yourself, but people don't reciprocate. You try to help others, they don't recognize. You give so much to your children, they forget. So this is the nature of Kali Yuga. It's a very selfish age, so people don't see. The Sanskrit word for gratitude is Krita Gya. Krita means something being done, and Gya means to know. So the Sanskrit word for gratitude literally means to know what has been done for you. But in Kali Yuga, people are so ungrateful. People are so ungrateful that they don't realize what's been done for them. and therefore they don't reciprocate appropriately. Therefore, this was signified, the jug being poured out, but then water not coming back. And then the boulder, which no one could move, which by the small strand of a chadha's sadhu, a sadhu's chadha, he moved the whole boulder. What does this signify? That Kali Yuga and all of its faults is so heavy, you cannot displace it. However, there's one unassuming, powerful thing that can displace the bad qualities of Kali Yuga, and that's the chanting of the holy name of Krishna. So therefore, Kaler Doshanide Rajan Asti Heko Mahanguna Kirtana Deva Krishna Sya Mukta Sangha Param Brajet. Kaler Doshanide Rajan, this Kali Yuga is like an ocean of faults, it's like a big boulder of bad qualities that you can't even displace. Asti, however, Eko, one, Mahan Guna, great quality in this time. Kirtanadeva Krishnasya, if you chant Krishna's names. Mukta Sangha Param Brajet, then all this terrible association of Kali Yuga can immediately be transcended. So this is Kali Yuga, and these are some of the qualities that we will see manifest before us as time goes by. Actually, if we're actually connecting with the Shastra, then what's going on in the world around us shouldn't surprise us. Sometimes we turn on the news, we read what's going on in the paper, we look out at the world around us and we're like surprised. Oh my God, how can this be happening in the world? But actually, if someone is in touch with Shastra, then one will realize that there's nothing to be surprised about. Because this is the nature of the world we're living in at the moment. This is what Kali Yuga is all about. So much degradation. So it said that the day that Krishna leaves the world is the day that Kali Yuga took root and Kali Yuga began. One may say when Parikshit saw Kali and saw Kali attacking the cow, the bull, mercilessly, and Parikshit took his sword out of the sheath and prepared to kill Kali for his nefarious acts, and then Kali surrendered. And what was Parikshit's response when Kali surrendered? Abhyartitas tadatasmai stanani kalayedudo dyutam panam striyasuna yatra dharmas chaturvida. Kali surrendered, Parikshit said, I'm a Raja Rishi. Raja Rishi means if someone surrenders unto you, how can you still kill them? So Parikshit said, because you've surrendered to me, I have to give you some place to say. Dyutam panam striyasuna yatra adharmas chaturvidha. There are four places where adharma takes place. Dyutam, where there's gambling. Panam, where there's intoxication. Striya, where there's illicit sex. And suna, where there's meat eating. Where these activities are going on, there you can reside. And then later on, Kali said, but there's nothing like this taking place in your kingdom. So then Parikshit said, Jatarupam. Okay, then you can stay in that place where money is hoarded. Because money is the root of all evil. So you see, anywhere where money is hoarded. One of my uncles, he used to work in Atlantic City. I don't know if you know Atlantic City. It's like a smaller version of Las Vegas on the east coast of America. So the whole city is a place of casinos. It's just the whole thing is casinos. Highest crime rates, highest prostitution rates, highest drug dealing rates, all terrible activities are going on there. In one hospital in Atlantic City, you know what happened once? Even the nurses in the hospital had got into the spirit of gambling, and they began gambling and betting and placing wagers on which patients in the ICU would die first. And it came to the point where the wager became so lucrative that someone pulled a plug on the machine. This is Kali Yuga. This is the extent to which the age that we're living in can contaminate someone's consciousness. So what's the difference between Kali and Maya? Someone may ask. Maya means she is coming for you, specific to you. She has a throwing potency and a covering potency that's tailor-made for each living entity. So Maya knows your weakness specifically, and then she will attack. Prabhupada said this, like this. He said, when I debate with people, I find their weakness and I just keep hitting. I just keep hitting at that weakness. Prabhupada said, this is my technique of debating. You see, like when you read Prabhupada's conversations, that's how he did it. He just one point and he just go, boom, on the same point. And the person is like trying to like go, not from Prabhupada, it's no, same point, just hit it, hit it. So this is Maya, what Maya does. She knows your weak point and then she just keeps hitting. So Maya is acting in such a way that's very specific for you. But Kali is like the all-pervading influence that's just happening in society. So that's like the subtle difference between Kali and Maya. They're all working in cahoots, ultimately. Kali and Maya is a dangerous duo. So in Kali Yuga, Prabhupada said, spiritual life in Kali Yuga, very difficult proposition. It's difficult. So here, Dhritarashtra is being told by Vidura that Kali Yuga is coming, so don't waste your time. Go. What he says, what Srila Prabhupada is explaining in this purport is that there are two stages. There is the stage of dhira. Dhira means when one detaches themselves. One becomes sober and one detaches themselves from the material entanglements. Here Prabhupada says one should compensate for a life of frustration by becoming a dhira and leaving home for good. So dhira is very much a life of becoming detached from the allurements of the world that may attract someone's or divert someone from the supreme goal. But then later on he says that dhira is simply a stepping stone to becoming Narottama. And what is the hallmark of a Narottama? The hallmark of a Narottama is that they basically have complete dependence on Krishna. That's what Prabhupada says here. Dhritarashtra advised Vidura, to become Narottama or a first-class human being, depending completely on the Supreme Lord, is not possible for an ordinary man. So Narottama, this is the goal of our life, to become Narottama. Nara Uttama. Nara means a man or a person, and Uttama means the topmost. So if you want to become the topmost of people, it means you have to learn complete dependence on the Lord. We are chronically relying on ourselves, trying to control and enjoy, trying to experience a life of independence. It's completely unrealistic to try to control the world. You can't control the world. Just like I was just coming back from India and I got a transfer from Etihad to Qatar. Qatar Airways. Good airline, by the way, if you're ever thinking about going. So we are flying from Doha to Shishirada Gokulananda ki jai, Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman ki jai, Shigonitai ki jai. So we are flying from Doha on the second leg of the flight to London Heathrow. Anyway, at a certain point, the plane just starts shaking. So I've been in planes when they've shaken before, but it was really shaking. So, you know, there were all the people were shouting in the cabin. It was people were getting a little, you know, and then the announcement came on the thing, you know, that, can everyone please take your seats? Can all the stewards please take your seats? There's, we're going through a patch of turbulence at the moment. So everyone sat down. So it was like, you know, it was, pretty displacing. So that at periodic points, the plane would just go vroom. And I'm quite like a practical person. So what I did is they have a screen. You know, they have a screen in front of you. And on the plane, there's three cameras. There's a camera in the front. There's a camera on the back of the plane, on that, you know, on the tail. And there's a camera underneath the plane. So I turned on the screen and I thought, let me just see what's underneath. So I turned the screen on and the first thing is the map came up. So I thought, okay, where are we flying over? So we're flying over Baghdad. I was like, that's not good. I mean, of all places, you know, to be flying over Baghdad. And then I looked at the camera and it was the mountains. It was just full of mountains. So I was thinking, anyway, the Bhagavatam does say at the end of life, go to the north, right? Go to the mountains. This is it. So I was kind of preparing my consciousness. And then the plane went down again, vroom. And have you ever been in a plane? When the plane goes down like that, you know what the gut reaction everyone does? You hold onto the seat. Isn't it? Which, if you think about it, is completely irrational. There's no value in holding onto the seat. Because if that plane's going down, it means the seat's going down, you're going down, the whole show is going down. But we have this chronic thing within us that we want to feel security, control. Yes, it's okay, I'm holding onto the seat. I mean, it's completely unrealistic. And we live life like this. We live life like this. Narottama means to be able to put your life in Krishna's hands without a single shadow of a doubt. Shraddha shabde vishvash kohe sudrida nishchoy Krishna bhakti koile sarva karma krita hoy. Chaitanya Charitamrita says, what is Shraddha? What is the real faith of a Vaishnava? What is the real substance? The Vishvas, the firm conviction. Krishna bhakti koile sarva karma krita hoy, that if I serve Krishna, everything will be okay. Everything will be done. And then later on, our acharyas unpack what dependence, what sharanagati means. Therefore, Bhaktivinoda Thakur says, Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam rakshishyati iti vishvasho koptritve varanam tata atmanikshepa karpanye sadvida sharanagati. This is dependence. This is sharanagati. Anukulyasya sankalpa pratikulyasya varjanam, that in your life you just accept whatever's favorable for serving Krishna and reject whatever's unfavorable. Rakshishyati ti vishvasho, the firm conviction that Krishna will protect me. Goptritve varanam tatha, understanding that Krishna is the maintainer. Atmanikshepa, fully surrendering one's body, mind and words in the service of the Lord. Karpanye, and thus embodying complete humility. Sadvida, sharanagati, these are the six items of surrender, or complete dependence on Krishna. So, Vidura advised Dhritarashtra, first detach yourself and then learn to depend on Krishna. Distance yourself from all of these disturbances now and fully take shelter of Krishna. And in this way, Vidura did the best thing that one could do for a friend. A real friend is described by Rupa Goswami. If you want to know who's your real friend, They have to have these three qualities. Otherwise, you're not my friend. First quality, sajatiya. A friend means someone who's on the same wavelength as you, who has the same, who you can relate to, who you have a like-mindedness with, sajatiya. So friends, naturally, it's a personal movement. So we naturally gravitate towards people we are having a like-mindedness with. So that's okay. Of course, it doesn't mean we go into cliques and someone's not like-minded like me, so I don't even look at them. No, no, we respect all Vaishnavas. But naturally, one will gravitate towards like-minded people. So Rupa Goswami says, this is the first quality of a friend. Sajatiya. Then he says, snehasya. Not only should one be like-minded, but a friend should be intimately connected with you. You should have some intimacy, some warmth, some trust, some emotional connection with that person, some feeling that, yes, this person is my well-wisher. But then, Rupa Goswami says, the third quality of a friend is ashraya, someone who can actually give you shelter. A friend is not just someone who's like-minded and who's looking out for you, but a friend is someone who's like-minded, someone who's looking out for you, but someone who actually has some spiritual advancement so that they can actually help you to get connected with Krishna. So Vidura was having all of these qualities. He understood Dhritarashtra's personality. Not only that, he actually cared for Dhritarashtra. But not only did he care for Dhritarashtra, he actually had the spiritual advancement to help Dhritarashtra. And therefore, Vidura was a real friend. And therefore, when Vidura came, and with his non-envious mentality, spoke very, very strongly, Dhritarashtra accepted it. Dhritarashtra became a dhira, and he left home. And in this way, Dhritarashtra attained an auspicious destination. And his chaste wife, Gandhari, as we'll read in the upcoming verses, also by her chaste following of Dhritarashtra, also attained immense benefit. So these are some of the points just to share today. That yes, Kali Yuga is coming, and this is something that we all have to be very, very aware of. That it's not, Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur said, the world is like a lavatory. You do your business and you get out. So we don't want to hang around in the world too long. Of course, if Krishna has some service for us here, then we try to perform that service. But most importantly, we have to ensure that we're living in this world but not affected by the influence of the age, because Kali Yuga is a very contaminating time. Hare Krishna. So we have a few minutes left. If anyone has any comments, questions, Arun, and then Sam, and then Godruma. And then Cyrus. And then Kishori and Abhi. Okay.
Harishobu, thank you for the class. My question is, how to receive feedback, you know, because when somebody gives you a feedback, it's like, it hits your false ego. You're like, why did you say this to me and that? So.
Feedback is the breakfast of champions. We have to realize that success in life is not in how to explain this. Someone said, if I spent as much time actually trying to become humble as I do trying to convince other people that I'm humble, then maybe I'd be humble by now. So the problem with us is that we're always trying to project something. We think success is a successful projection. But when we realize that true success is an evolution of my internal consciousness, then we'll accept feedback with great happiness because we'll know this is helping me to internally improve. But when our basic measure of success is in successful projection and someone gives you feedback, you're thinking like, no, this is, I'm supposed to be projecting the, you know, the perfect image here. And now you're telling me something else. So it means we have to be going for the right thing. There's no easy way to accept feedback. Only a sincere person can accept feedback because a sincere person is in it for the real thing. And on a practical point, for all of us, it will practically be difficult to take feedback from everyone. I mean, no matter how many talks we give like this, and you must accept feedback, it's very good for you, feedback is necessary, we practically won't be able to because we have too much pride. But then what we should do is there should be at least one person in your life. You may not listen to anyone else, but at least let there be one person who you can go to or who can come to you and say anything, and you'll have the relationship with them. The like-mindedness, the intimacy, and you'll respect their spiritual integrity to say, you know what, even if this is so hard to digest, I take it. So find at least one person. Maybe that's a start. And then you'll actually be able to start taking from everyone. You'll even be able to start taking from the unreasonable people as well. Some unreasonable, it will come to the point where some unreasonable person gives you unasked, inaccurate feedback. And you'll be like, wow, thank you. There's something so nice to take from that. Like, so that's where we're going. For the start, just start with someone you really trust. And it will develop. It will come. Yes.
Actually, Bhakti Tirthamaraj gives some good advice on this point. He says that it's best if we write it down when we receive the feedback and then leave it for a little while, because otherwise you'll overthink things and then come back to it maybe the next day and then review once you can look at it with a peaceful, without the false egos. But my question was that Rupa Goswami is saying we connect with, well, make friendships with people that we have similar nature to. So I was just wondering, that's only very few people. So how do we develop Vaishnava relationships with the many people that we have completely opposite natures with?
How do we develop relationships with people we don't have the same nature? That will come with spiritual advancement. Because what happens is when you spiritually advance, Mamchayo vyabhicharena bhakti yogena sevate sa gunan samatityetan brahmabhuyaya kalpate. In the conditioned state, we have to try to be very aware of our nature and other people's nature because we're still very much in conditioned consciousness. So we use those relationships of svajatiya, similar nature, to then help us get purified. What will happen as time goes by is we won't be so much concerned as we advance with someone's nature, their conditionings, their external personality, because one will actually begin to see Vaishnavas in a much deeper way. Already we are seeing. I was fascinated when I came to the movement, almost like without even thinking, I never thought of someone as a white body devotee or a African body devotee or an Indian devotee. It just never came in your mind. Because it's almost just by being in the Sangha, you almost transcend. And as we advance more and more, we'll transcend more and more. So in the beginning, it may be natural like that, but as we become purified, we'll find that we begin to appreciate everyone, even the people who are of different natures to us. And I've also seen that, you know, that, you know, years ago, individuals who I couldn't understand, who I thought, you know, this and that about, as years went by, I began to appreciate their devotion and their expression of their devotion, which was very different to me. But it comes with time. It comes with maturity. But in the beginning, naturally, it will be natural to... He's a real friend.
So in Kali Yuga, so we've taken birth, so we could consider ourselves unfortunate in a sense. I don't know if there's some karma going on here while we actually in this age, because obviously it's stated that you know, we're unfortunate, we live short lives, we are, you know, poor memory, and we're lazy, you know, etc. And Buddha Bhavana was hinting that we shouldn't consider ourselves special because we take birth in Kali Yuga. So, you know, it's worse after all the ages. And so we're unfortunate, but we're also very fortunate, most fortunate. So I'm not quite sure how to reconcile the two here. You know, because of the obvious Lord Chaitanya's movement.
There are many things like this. Like, say, for example, Bhagavatam is said to be for the people of Kali Yuga. Vyas, like, made it, the essence, very easy to grasp. At the same time, it's for the people of Kali Yuga who are less intelligent, who are out of it. But it's the Sarva Vedanta Sadam, he is the most essence of all Vedic knowledge, it's the topmost Samhita. And at the same time, it's for the people of, like, you see, the point is Krishna balances every age. It's quite interesting. Like, sometimes people say, why did Krishna even create Kali Yuga? Like, or why did Parikshit let Kali Yuga come in, and all this kind of, these questions sometimes come. But we should understand every age is balanced. So on one hand, there's a great misfortune in being in the age because it's so bad. But then what Krishna does is he balances it by giving you something amazing in that age that's so powerful that it counteracts all the terrible things. So in Satya Yuga, the atmosphere is not as bad. So therefore the spiritual practice is also quite lofty. It's like not as easily accessible to us. So it's balanced. And in Kali Yuga, when everything comes down, then what Krishna does is gives a really powerful process, which is the holy name. So when we look at it from the point of we're in Kali Yuga, and you think, oh, Prabhu, it's a difficult age, isn't it? Devotees sometimes get into Kali Yuga katha. Prabhu, it's Kali Yuga, it's Kali Yuga, it's terrible, it's terrible. Kadambakanda Maharaj said once he went to, he was traveling somewhere and he met, and devotees were having Kali Yuga katha. It is terrible, it's Kali Yuga, this is going on, did you read it? It's Kali, Kali, terrible, Kali Yuga. And then one sadhu stood up and he goes, Kali Yuga? Kali Yuga? Kali Yuga? This is not Kali Yuga, this is Chaitanya Yuga. So are you in Kali Yuga, Cyrus, or are you in Chaitanya Yuga? If you think you're in Kali Yuga, then you'll feel, I'm very unfortunate, Baba. This is terrible time. But if you think I'm in Chaitanya Yuga, I'm in Chaitanya Yuga. When does Chaitanya Mahaprabhu come? Namo Mahavadanyaya. When does Chaitanya come? Very rare. Then I'm very fortunate. Karibo. So I'll hang around with you and also be in Chaitanya Yuga. Ladies? Oh, Godrima, yeah. Okay.
Anyway, three comments. Okay. So, this kind of lockdown situation that, you know, is here around the world and here. So, people sometimes, well, they think, you know, it's a terrible thing. But actually, I was thinking, if you're locked down, with some highly advanced transcendentalist, then it's a great benediction.
Thank you for being around, Godrima.
Thank
you, Godrima, for being here.
No, thank you for bringing the Bhagavatam alive, you know, with your understanding and sharing the realizations. That's nice. Thank you so much. You were talking earlier about the government leaders. So in the Bhagavatam, it's explained that the government leaders, they're allowed to take taxes from the people if they can protect the people from thieves and rogues. Mm. But in this age, they themselves are the biggest thieves and rogues. But of course, they dress nicely and speak eloquently. So, and you were speaking about Srila Prabhupada. He went to see Mr. Sethi, you know, and he was having breakfast in bed. And Prabhupada instructed him, or Sadhu cut the attachment. So that Mr. Sethi earlier, before he became a devotee, he was actually just the head of the construction for Juhu Temple, Bombay. So this is before the temple was built and they were just getting the land ready. So he came to Srila Prabhupada because there was a swamp there before. So he came to Srila Prabhupada and he said, we have to do piling. So piling is where you drill down and you hit bedrock and then you put, you know, reinforce concrete pillars to support the building so it doesn't subside. So Mr. Sethi, he was a construction engineer and he said, no, you have to do piling, you have to do piling. So he went to Srila Prabhupada and said, Swamiji, you know, we need to do piling here. So Prabhupada said, no need for piling. So then he said, respectfully, you know, Swamiji, you are very expert in the spiritual field, but this is engineering, you know, construction engineering, and that's my field, you know. So, and Prabhupada said, no need for piling. So then he went to see Giriraj Swami, and he said, you know, we need to do piling here. What shall we do, you know? So we'll have to go back and ask Srila Prabhupada. So he went back. With one suggestion, that can we do one test drill, you know? So Prabhupada said, okay, do the test drill. So they went down a little bit and they hit rock. So then he was thinking, how did Swamiji know? You know, he's he chants Hare Krishna and reads Bhagavatam. You know, he doesn't know anything about this, you know, geology and engineering. So then he became so amazed with Srila Prabhupada, he became a devotee. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.
Yes, Prabhupada, just while the mic comes over, Prabhupada was expert, daksha. Vaishnav means daksha, expert in all respects. And in Mumbai, what happened is, after Prabhupada left the world, then they went to one CEO, because Prabhupada said organization and intelligence. So they went to this CEO and they said, you know, now our founder has left, so we've come to you, we want to get tips, advice, guidance on how to manage and structure this movement. The CEO goes, why are you coming to me? He said, just study the life of your own founder, Acharya. He was managing a whole movement and he didn't have one paper in front of him. It was just going on by spiritual purity. He said, I can't give you any advice that can match that. You know, that was Prabhupada, so expert in everything. Yes.
Hare Krishna Prabhu, thank you for the class. I was wondering, we hear in the Bhagavatam how all these great personalities and Krishna gives protection. And in class, you were saying how we should get to the point where we expect, or where we, you know, we expect Krishna to give us his protection and we should rely on Krishna. But at what point does Krishna give his protection? Like, do we have to be a great personality or a pure devotee? Like, we read in the Bhagavatam, because I often read about these personalities and I think, well, okay, that's great and Krishna's giving them protection, but what about me? Or what about, and you know, do we have to get to that stage first? And then, so I was wondering.
Thank you, very nice question. Whether one is a devotee fully surrendered or not, Krishna is always protecting, because everything is under Krishna's control. Ishvara, sarvakarana karanam, Ishvara Parama Krishna. He's protecting everyone. Even the non-devotees, Krishna is protecting through the material energy, but he's not directly involved. As one becomes more and more surrendered to Krishna, then Krishna becomes more and more involved in your life. Krishna is not going to kick the door open into your heart. Like, oh, let me in, let me in. No, no. Krishna says to Arjuna, Itite jnanam akhyatam guyat guyataram maya vimrashe tadasheshena yate chasi tatha guru. I told you now. Now you do what you want to do. Krishna is not going to force himself in. So Krishna is always protecting us. And as we're in more consciousness of Krishna, as we develop our surrender, then Krishna gets more and more directly involved. So a devotee has that. It's not that we have to become a pure devotee and then we can only expect that Krishna will come. Krishna is coming now. But as we become more and more pure, then Krishna's hand will be more and more directly seen in our life. It requires faith. It's said that when Prahlad was falling off the cliff, Krishna could have caught him at the top. But he caught him at the bottom. You think, like, he could have caught me at the top, you know. There was, like, all that time, you know, he could have got, you know, a bit mental in the process, you know. Like, is he coming? Like, what's happening here? Krishna. Krishna will protect, and we develop our surrender bit by bit. It's not that one day we will become surrendered. Day by day, we're becoming more surrendered. And as you surrender a little bit more, Krishna reveals himself a little bit more, which then helps you to surrender a little bit more, which then Krishna reveals more. And before you know it, you realize, oh my God, everything, Krishna is holding my whole life. At the end of the battle of Kurukshetra, Arjuna said, Krishna, please come off. Krishna said, no, you go first. So Arjuna stepped off the chariot. And then Krishna stepped off the chariot. Boom! The whole chariot went into flames. And Arjuna realized, with all the Brahmastras that were hitting the chariot, this thing should have been on fire. But the only one who was holding it together was Krishna. So Krishna is holding the whole show together, whether we know it or not, whether we're surrendered or not. But what will happen is that as we become more surrendered, more aware, more in tune, more prayerful, then Krishna will show you directly how he's reciprocating. So I'll end you with this formula. If you want to know the depth of Krishna's love, then you have to be aware of the length and breadth of your existence. Okay, this is not for me, by the way. I can't take credit for this. Chaitanya Charan Prabhu says this. I think it's very nice. If you want to know the depth of Krishna's love, then you must realize the length and breadth of your existence. So the length of your existence means this life is just one life. And there are many lives. There was lives before, there's lives after. The breadth of our existence means when Krishna is relating to us, he's not just relating to us as a body, not just as a mind, but as a soul. So when Krishna is reciprocating with you, be aware of the length of your existence and the breadth of your existence. Be aware that Krishna, whatever he's arranging, is in the context of many lives before and many lives after. When Krishna's dealing with you, realize the breadth of your existence, that he's not just here to protect your material body, but he's here to protect your soul and the more deeper aspects of your identity. And when we see the length and breadth of our existence, then we'll be able to realize the depth of Krishna's love. But when we think I'm a material body and it's just about this life and, you know, I've contracted this disease, God doesn't love me. Because you have not understood the length of your existence and the breadth of your existence. Understand that, and then you'll realize Krishna's love is endless. And when we realize the depth of Krishna's love, that's when the surrender will come. Because factually, our basic problem is we don't believe in Krishna's love. We have not been conquered by Krishna's love. So that love will come with surrender. So surrender, love, all these things together. Let us pray and get some love. Kaviraj Goswami says in conclusion, Prema dhana vina vyartha daridra jivan das kori vetan more deha prema dhan. Kaviraj Goswami says, Prema dhana, if I don't have love for Krishna, daridra jivan, class me as a completely impoverished person. I may have money, I may have wealth, I may have reputation, I may have skill, I may have fame, I have my position, I may have so many things, but if I don't have prema, I'm an impoverished person. Das kori, Krishna, make me your servant, vetan more, and just give me one salary. Deha prema dan, as my salary, all I want you to do is give me your love. Because if you have love, as we develop our love, surrender will come. And there's nothing more sweet to experience in life than the loving relationship with Krishna, which is infused with love and surrender. Hare Krishna. Oh, there was another. There's a question online. I'm just conscious of time. Is it quick? Okay, very quick.
So what is the difference between detachment and cold-heartedness? How to understand where we are?
On one hand, attachment, and on the other extreme, cold-heartedness. A devotee is neither attached nor cold-hearted. Cold-heartedness and attachment only occur on the material platform. When we're relating to other people on the spiritual platform, then we can have spiritual attachment and we'll never be cold-hearted because we'll be relating to them on the spiritual platform. So when we go from extremes like this, from being attached to being cold-hearted, another way to put it, as Rupa Goswami says in NOD, is bhoga, which means enjoyment, and tyaga, which means complete renunciation. So we're always going on these extremes. We're getting attached and then we're trying to distance ourselves and going on these extremes because the basic problem is we're relating to everything on the material platform. When we begin to relate to things and people on the spiritual platform, there'll be no opportunity to go to these extremes because you find the perfect balance that you can actually love Vaishnavas in a completely spiritual way. You can actually utilize things in a completely spiritual way so that you neither neglect them nor try to enjoy them. So some people are trying to look at the world, enjoy the world. Some people are trying to look away from the world. But what a devotee does is they learn to utilize and look beyond. Yeah. So this is the difference between karma, means attachment. Jnana means to go to the other extreme of detachment or cold-heartedness. And bhakti means to come back. So you have thesis, antithesis, and then synthesis. So material life means the thesis is to enjoy materially. Then you realize it doesn't work, so you go to the antithesis. Okay, let me leave it all behind. And then you come to bhakti, which is the synthesis, which is to realize, no, Prabhupada said, the goal of life is to enjoy, but spiritually. And that's how when we come to that platform, then we don't risk going to any of these extremes. Some thoughts. I think we're done, Cyrus. Grantharaj, Srimad Bhagavatam ki jai. Srila Prabhupada ki jai.